and welcome to Astrology Today, your regular look at the planetary movements and how astrology may affect and hopefully improve your life. Hi there, I'm Norma Lachance. I'm your host. I'm a life coach, a mathemagician, and an inspired astrologer. And you've joined me for the weekend perspective, including planetary ingresses and the daily transits. Now let's have a look up in the sky. Welcome to the podcast and welcome to Friday, April 5th, 2024. All right, I hope you just, settle in. It's going to be a little bit of a longer podcast because, of course, I'm going to talk all about the solar eclipse that's happening on Monday. We are going to include, the weekend themes as we normally do, but it's certainly dominated by this eclipse season that we are in. Now, Monday will be the end of the eclipse season, so we are going to take some time there. I've got some interesting charts to look at, as I usually do. My listeners always pipe up and want to volunteer, which is really great. I did also want to mention that on Sunday, so the day before the solar eclipse, I am having a Zoom session. Everybody is welcome. It's great. People pipe, Zoom in, as it were, from all over the world. It's super exciting. It's at 6:30 p.m. and that's Pacific Daylight Time. So that's Vancouver time. And the link will be in the program notes. And if you want to, drop me a quick line to let me know that you're coming, we usually share our charts. So if you've never joined us before, you can give me your birth details. And I'm happy to crank out your chart for you if you're willing to share. So all of that information is in the notes, as well as some interesting links for the solar eclipse. Okay, let's get to these themes for the weekend. Let's have a look at the moon as we do in this section here. Moon currently in Pisces. Oh, wonderful, sensitive, squishy Pisces, which is going to be, part of our emotional responses as the moon is in there. Wonderful, flexible, merging, just this really beautiful universality that Pisces brings to the table and, highly intuitive as well as it moves through the degrees of Pisces. Then by Sunday, it'll move into Aries, right? Top of the astrological calendar there, obviously preparing for the solar eclipse in Aries. And this turns things to cardinal fire, fiery, impetuous, impulsive. And you know how I always say when the moon is in Aries, no online shopping. Well, just multiply that by 100 because, of course, now we're talking about a solar eclipse. And so that really ups the ante in terms of, avoid that sort of, impulsive line at the shopping store where you pick up a whole bunch of stuff that perhaps you don't necessarily need. Let's have a look at important aspects and aspect patterns that are happening over the weekend, of course, prior to the solar eclipse. So late today and into tomorrow, I'm going to pause right here. I just want to point out that we have a whole bunch of the same aspect pattern happening in different forms. And so when that happens, I call it the battle of. So here we have a battle of stelliums, right? A stellium is three or more planets that are within 8 degrees of each other. And, I've mentioned this now for a couple of weeks now that, there's a cluster of planets that are all, really currently moving through either Pisces or Aries. And so it's really jam-packed into one area of your chart. You may have noticed that there are certain houses or house themes that are coming forward for you. So this is why we have these stelliums coming through. So having said all of that, the first one is a Pisces stellium involving Mars, Saturn, and the moon. And like I said, yes, late Friday, late today, and into tomorrow. And remember that these are moving forward quickly because, of course, they involve the moon. So structured actions here. So that's that Saturn-Mars piece where, Mars represents actions and your vitality. And Saturn brings a certain amount of structure and discipline to it. And these are based on your comfort and your intuitiveness. And that's where the moon comes in, obviously quite sensitive because it's all in a Pisces. Then moving on to Sunday, stellium number two I want to talk about is Neptune conjunct with Venus, conjunct with the moon. Now, what's interesting here is this is once the moon moves into Aries. So both Venus and Aries Venus and the moon, pardon me, are in Aries, but Neptune is still in Pisces. It's a stellium because they are close enough together. And here the theme could be about, you know, actively connecting through love and merging, but that active part is brought on through the Aries energy, but it's definitely still around being flexible in your emotional responses. Then also on Sunday, we have another stellium, number 3, and this one involves the Sun, Chiron, and Mercury, which is in retrograde, all in Aries. And this is very much the theme of the solar eclipse, but this is again the day before. And so here the sense of kind of inner messages. And I say inner messages because of the Mercury retrograde. You know, you may be getting messages, thoughts, ideas, definitely on the inside, and maybe around, could be quite tender around some wounding, some past wounds that are, you know, available maybe to communicate about, again, with that Mercury theme. And I say wounding because it involves Chiron, and that all of this is to support that your identity, the Sun, your hero's path, you know, sort of your life purpose moving forward. Well, way to stick around to talk about the solar eclipse. And this is actually stellium number 4 that's occurring over the weekend. So let's just talk a little bit about solar eclipses. So the first thing you need to know is that they always occur at new moons, right? So every 2 weeks, you know, I'm either talking about a new moon or a full moon. And I remember when I was studying eclipses, I thought, how come there isn't an eclipse like every new moon and every, you know, full moon? Like, why is that not happening? And it has to do with, well, first of all, the tilt of the Earth and the position of the nodes, the North Node, South Node. And when the Sun and the Moon, of course, it happens at a conjunction. Here we have the new moon, / solar eclipse happening when the Sun and the Moon are at the same longitudinal position. But when those two planets are close enough to the nodes, it means there's this beautiful celestial alignment so that the moon steps in front of the Sun and starts to block it out. In other words, the Earth and the Moon and the Sun are all in line. But the eclipse only happens when, like I said, the tilt, the geometry, as it were, is at the right place so that, we usually get an eclipse season twice a year. Sometimes we get, you know, 3 eclipses, 5 eclipses, 2 eclipses in a season or, you know, yeah. So those are kind of the possibilities. So they either happen twice a year, about 6 months apart. So this is the end of eclipse season for the spring, as it were. The next time we'll have eclipses will be, you know, in the fall. So, you know, September, October timeframe, when we will be having another set of eclipses. So I put a link in the program notes that talks, you know, you want to get nerdy about eclipses, I got the website for you. So it's called timeanddate.com. Great website. And it has lots of information about not just, you know, eclipses, but new moons, you know, changes of time, all of those things. It's a great resource. So I'll put that link in the program notes. You can check it out. They will have, you know, a visual for the solar eclipse. I believe there's a live link so you can watch the solar eclipse if you want to do that. Everything you need to know about eclipses is absolutely on this website. It's fantastic. All right. So let's dive into a few of these details. So again, as I said, Sun conjunct Moon at exact the same longitudinal positions, both in Aries. And the eclipse occurs at 11:17 a.m. That's Vancouver time. So just adjust the time zone based where you are at 19 degrees, 22 minutes of Aries. Now, what you'll notice is the actual conjunction between the Sun and the Moon occurs at 19 degrees, about 24 minutes. So it's not exactly at the same spot. And again, this is because it starts to move close to the nodes, and that's why the totality of the eclipse occurs actually before they are in exact the same position. Okay, that was a lot. The important piece you need to know is that the, first of all, the path of totality of the eclipse is going to be on that website, timeanddate.com. I believe it comes, it hits North America, sort of in Mexico, coming through the United States, sort of Texas, and then hits Canada right around Southern Ontario and carries on over through to the Maritimes. So if you're in the path of the total solar eclipse, there will be a moment when it's going to be completely dark. Now let's hope for a clear day so that you can see it. That's super exciting. And for so many people, it's like once in their lifetime, they actually get to be in the spot where a total solar eclipse happens. Now, I won't lie to you. There's lots of people that travel the earth, you know, and good for them that they, you know, can follow around solar eclipses and lunar eclipses. The totality of the eclipse is about 4 minutes while it's, you know, the moon steps fully over and completely blocks out the sun. It's about 4 minutes. So when we talk about the effect of the eclipse, astrologically speaking, 1 minute is approximately equal to about a month of effect. So this is a 4 month effect. So you can expect, you know, if you're working with an astrologer and you're looking at the interpretation of the eclipse for you, you can expect it to last up to 4 months of effect over you. Now, I want to talk a little bit about, I like to call it added flavor, that there isn't just, you know, the sun conjunct moon here for the eclipse. There's also the sun conjunct the moon conjunct Chiron, all at 19 degrees Aries. That's a very tight stellium. Plus, it's also conjunct Mercury, which is retrograde. And so this is a very impactful energy and eclipse. I want to point out that those of you with birthdays, April 8th, 9th, and 10th, this is going to be quite an impactful eclipse for you because that's occurring right at 19 degrees. And so if you're, you know, your solar return is there. I know I had a client last week that has this in their solar return chart. And so it's a very impactful solar eclipse. And remember that it's also a new moon. So it's a launching of new energy, a new phase for those people, especially that are having their birthday. The other set of birthdays here is the ones that are opposite the solar eclipse, which would be October 12th, 13th, and 14th. So those 6 birthdays, if that's you out there, you might want to find an astrologer and, you know, have a conversation about the eclipse for sure. All right. Well, related to all of that, I also wanted to talk about the Saros series. And this is the eclipse theory that, you know, about every 18 years, this same eclipse appears on Earth as it's moving its way across the Earth. This eclipse started in 1501. Yeah, it's been a while, and it'll be with us for several more decades for sure, even over the centuries. And so, you know, there is a theme with each eclipse, and this particular one, not a surprise in Aries, around inventiveness and flashes of genius. And I used the book by Bernadette Brady, Predictive Astrology, fantastic. And the back of that book, she has all of the eclipses from all the way up until I'm thinking about 2044, if I'm not correct. And she's got all these details about the history of these eclipses. It's just a fantastic resource. I will absolutely put the link for her book in the program notes as well. This is the part of the podcast I think everybody really enjoys. I know it's really fun for me when I get to look at some individual charts. And so as my partner mentioned to me this morning, the longer I talk about his chart, the happier he'll be. I think that's, everybody can relate to that. It's like, Norma, what does this have to do with me in my life? What's going on? I don't care about the astronomy. I want to know how it affects me. So for my partner's chart, this eclipse is occurring in his third house. Third house themes can include, you know, stuff around siblings, your neighborhood, kind of, you know, just your close quarters, your commute to work. It's just really that close distance, right? It's not long distance travel. It's kind of close by, but it also includes the mind, right? That part of yourself, your thoughts and ideas. And so given that, this particular eclipse involves Mercury retrograde, I'm thinking that it's going to trigger a lot of communication. So for my partner, his natal Mercury is in his seventh house. And I noticed that the eclipse is absolutely going to be triggering that. So I'm wondering that there's going to be a lot of communication with important partners. Now, remember that seventh house is not just, you know, your intimate partners, you know, that would be me, but it's also business partners, any important one-to-one relationships that he has. There may be some important communications that may be coming forward. All right. The other chart that I wanted to look at is from a great listener, Russ. And when looking at Russ's chart, this eclipse occurs in his sixth house. So sixth house themes, try to say that 10 times fast, include, you know, daily routines, your work environment, your health. It's anything that, you know, you kind of do on a regular basis. This is all sixth house. So I'm wondering about, you know, maybe he's going to be receiving some messages, some thoughts and ideas on how better to care for his health through some habits. Maybe given that it's a new moon, it's a time to launch some new habits that really support his health. And then finally, the last chart I wanted to look at is from a longtime listener, Courtney, who's been listening for, I'm guessing, a few years. Thanks for that, Courtney. She also has the eclipse in her sixth house. The difference here is that it's a bit closer to her descendant. So angular, what we say is close to that angle, that seventh house cusp. So I'm wondering is not only, yes, some messages around daily habits and routines, as in for Russ, but also the fact that first of all, it may be around, in Courtney's chart specifically, she's got it opposite Pluto. She's got Pluto in, Libra, pardon me, in the 12th house, which is opposite this eclipse. So I'm wondering if that's going to, you know, create some opportunities for transformation or, you know, really purging certain habits that maybe don't serve her. And what came to mind for me was with Aries, it's a fire sign. So it's really about singeing off and really purging the stuff that is not working for her anymore. That's your podcast for the weekend and for the solar eclipse. Thanks for sticking in right to the end. Remember that it is a social media world that we live in. If you're enjoying the podcast, certainly rate, review, share, subscribe, send it to friends and family if you get some benefit out of it. It just helps other people find this little corner of the world I like to call astrology today. Of course, if you have any questions or comments, certainly send that to my email. That's astrologydiva, D-V-A, @gmail.com. Remember that the April mailbag is open, and you can just send me your questions about astrology that I will look at the end of the month. And I just ask that you put April mailbag in the subject line so it sticks out and I can find it. All right, have yourselves a fantastic day. Remember, if you're going to watch the solar eclipse, get some proper eyewear. Otherwise, you can watch it online. Have yourselves a fantastic weekend. I look forward to speaking to you again very soon.